Those that are with us virtually, we missed that we were muted in our little bit of last minute scramble. So we are going to quickly do roll call and Cross, you can run through those.
John Anderson. Ryan Anderson. Willie Blake.
Here.
Frank Fletch. Nicole Fife.
Here.
Kathy Kretschmer.
Here.
Kendall Croson.
Here.
Jose Munoz.
Here.
Krista Romero Cordenas. Dr. Ron Smart.
Present.
Lisa Vega.
Do we have a forum?
Yes, we do.
Thank you. The first order of business would be approval of the past minutes. However, I'd like to go outside. We have a number of people at the desk here, and so the audience knows who we are. The three days going around and make a short introduction.
We go first.
Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. My name is Sam Credio. I'm the Director of Transportation and Mobility for the City of Tucson.
Good evening. My name is Laura Hamley. I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation.
Good evening, everyone. Sorry for the tardy. I'm just got off my get by with Monzo Bike Club. I'm a member of Audio Hollywood.
Chairman Park, members of the commission. I'm Aaron Williams. City of Houston.
Good evening, I'm Joan Landers. I'm with Community Communication helping support staff. Doing great.
Good evening, Carlos Leon. I am with Joan in the Community.
And you're our recorder.
I am your recorder, yes.
Ron Spark, it's appointed by Ward 6. I live in Ward 6, and I chair this.
Wonderful. Well, yes. And I'm from the Western Hill Neighborhood Association, and I do the grant proposals for the county to sign this one. And today, Mrs. Farmer's birthday. Oh. I mean, Flash's birthday.
Oh, Flash's
birthday. Yeah. I'm Kathy Fletcher. I'm representing the city manager's office for the senior.
Great, Jackson, thank you so much, Recreation Department Deputy Director.
Colin Teston, Department of Transportation Mobility Project Manager.
I just happened to be sitting with
you. Okay. thank you all for those. Can you also go around, please, the virtual, just so you know you're real? Kendall, could you start off? You're muted.
Sorry about that. I'm Kendall Croson, appointed by Ward 4.
Okay. Jose Munoz.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jose Munoz. Pronouns he, him, él, and I've been appointed by the mayor.
Do we have anybody else?
Nicole.
Nicole.
Hi there, Nicole Fife, appointed by the city manager.
Okay.
Thank you. Just one more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm Ryan Fagan. I'm a project manager with the Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility, and I had intended to be there today, but we've got a COVID case in my house, and I didn't want to risk spreading it to y'all, so I may have to ask folks to repeat.
Thank you. That's very thoughtful, actually.
Anyway, thank you.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jasmine Chan, the administrator for capital planning and development with Parks and Recreation.
Thank you. And formerly our financial guru of this commission. and Aaron's trying to take her place. Okay, we will now move to the approval of the October 9th, 2023 minutes. These were excellent. They captured everything that went on. For discussion.
If everybody have read the minutes from the last meeting,
yes,
they don't see any improvements. I would like to make a motion that we approve the minutes.
Okay. Well, I have a motion of approval. Second. Okay. Discussion or any changes? Hearing none, we will have a roll call to approve the minutes of October 9th, 2020. Roll call, please.
John Anderson. Ryan Anderson. Willie Blake.
Yes.
Frank Fletch. Nicole Pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's right.
Kathy Crosby?
Yes.
Okay, let's do the announcement.
Kendall Croson?
Yes.
Jose Munoz?
Yes.
Crystal Romero Cardenas?
Did things freeze over at the
For those who are going to respond to the call to the audience, this is the time and place for any member of the public to address the 2018 Parks and Infections Bond Oversight Commission. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this session is 15 minutes, but the chair may let it go a little longer because we do have a really robust response. However, I'd ask your individuals to keep your remarks about 3 minutes as a courtesy to the others who would like to speak. Due to the open meeting law, commission members cannot discuss the topics that are on the agenda as far as let me get that straight. Through the open meeting law, convention members cannot discuss the topics that you raise in your polls of the audience. The items may be brought up will be considered as an agenda item for a future meeting. However, please make your remarks geared towards the fact that this item will be on the agenda for later on in this meeting. However, we cannot engage with you as a person of the audience during that discussion of our consideration of that item. I hope that'll make that clear. I know that may be a little frustrating to you. Thank you all for participating. The life and lifeblood of any commission is really its acceptance by the community. And by you coming out and wanting to address us, we'll reaffirm that what we do is we're an honest broker in what decisions we make and how we disperse the monies for these projects. These projects were voted on by the public. We have very little added latitude as far as changing them. However, we do have some guidelines where we can move things up. We can merge some of them, but we cannot substantially alter them without going through a very difficult process. I just want to make that clear.
In managing the 7 forms that we received via email, I think we can confirm if there's any new people on the virtual meeting by a show raising their hand if they want to address the commission, so we know how many people we're going to try to accommodate that to. So we have Rue. I see Rue has her hand raised. Colby, we already have your form. Anybody else in the audience that would like to have a moment during call to the audience? Okay. So you have one more.
One more, we'll leave that.
Yeah, we'll fill out a card for you.
Thank you. Okay. I know this is very prejudicial, but I'm going to call people to speak to us in alphabetical order. So those of you that are W's and T's, that you're out of luck, and you've probably been out of luck for your entire life. Okay, the first speaker for us tonight is Jason Dolan. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Oh, it's Donaldson?
Donaldson. Sorry. Yeah. Yes.
Hey, I'm a resident on Smith Street. I moved in 3 years ago. I lived at 3035. And I'm over the moon about this project. I think it's going to be great. I have young children, and their safety is number one. I think number two on that list, though, would be the Arizona Nights guys. I am opposed to the lighting selection for the street. I heard that this was kind of a hot topic. I don't mean to beat a dead horse if I but if it's one thing I'm proud of, one thing I like to brag about, how many stars I can see in my backyard, and pointing those out to my kids, and just really appreciating what we have here. And we already have some pretty heavy light pollution coming in from the west of us. And I want to say probably the same type of lighting about 100 feet away or 100 yards away. It's pretty offensive, especially when it's shining into the kids' bedrooms, trying to put in the bed. It's just kind of tucked right under our eyes. And I would really appreciate if the commission, the board, you great folks would reconsider the lighting proposal and perhaps selecting something a little bit more pedestrian-friendly, residential-friendly, keep the charm of the neighborhood preserved. I think we all in Arizona would appreciate these old neighborhoods and these old houses. We're doing our best to keep them beautiful, not just for us, but for everyone at Gawkat when it comes to Tucson. It really is a special place, I think. Anyways, I haven't heard, but I'll use the title of somebody else that I'm going to take.
Thank you, Mr. Donaldson. We appreciate your observations. You actually are under 3 minutes.
So. You're right, 2 minutes.
Yeah, good. Okay. Thank you. Our next speaker is Paul Gruber, a neighbor.
I'm Paul Gruber. Some questions
on the 6th Street pedestrian safety and walkability project. Please note the words pedestrian and project's title. The DOC must answer some questions before it can arrive at a recommendation for this project. First, a majority of residents on 5th Street have expressed their desire for historic pedestrian lights to be installed. There must be lights. However, the DTM has said that pedestrian lights cost too much. Before the statement can be accepted, shouldn't the DOC know how much the pedestrian lights cost, as well as how much the proposed street lights cost? In this way, the DOC can determine for itself what does or does not cost too much. Second, the proposed installation of lights on 5th-6th Street. Nowhere on the project's website is there a cost for a street light. The project, as for the revised map on its website, proposes to install 43 new street lights on 5th Street, the Country Club Road to Albany. In addition, it proposes adding 24 additional street lights to 6th Street from Campbell to Country Club, a total of 67 new street lights. At what cost? If we estimate $15,000 per light, the total is over $1 million. Third, how many people walk on 5th, 6th streets between sunset and sunrise? I live on 5th Street. If I see a single person walking at night on 5th Street in an entire month, it's a lot. But let's say one person per week walks at night on 5th Street, or four people per month. It's spending $1 million with street lights justified to four people a month. Fourth, remember the word in the title of this book, pedestrian. 6th Street already has pedestrians. Why add 24 new streetlights? This is not an automobile safety project. It's a pedestrian walkability project. Streetlights illuminate the street. Pedestrian lights illuminate the sidewalk. The DOC must consider the following. How much will the proposed 67 streetlights cost? The number of pedestrians walking at night justify the expense. How many pedestrians are on these streets after sunset? Will the proposed streetlights truly illuminate the new sidewalks or just the building?
Right, I'm going to have to cut you off at this point. You can submit the rest of your remarks.
That was not 3 minutes, sir.
We haven't signed that. We haven't signed that.
That's all right. You can have the rest of the remarks.
Thank you. Appreciate your concern.
I know you don't.
Comments. Our next speaker is Gail.
Gail?
Yeah. I thought you were right. It's Brian closest to that speaker, so those were. Oh. Wait, up there? Is that the speaker? Oh, okay. Speaker? My name is Gail Hartman. I'm president of Stanview Neighborhood Association. In December, we sent a letter to Mr. Cradio expressing our concern about the same issue that was just discussed, modern lighting on the 5th, 6th Street. As you know, Sam Hughes is a historic neighborhood on the National Register. We value its historic qualities, including the vintage historic lamps. We understand that in the transportation department's opinion, the lamps do not provide enough light. And to counter that, we have suggested LED bulbs, reflective material on the top to reflect the light down. Tucson is, after all, a dark sky city, and we should comply with that ordinance. There was another letter sent to you by Nancy DeFeo, neighbor, that provides details on lighting that we think makes it clear that those historic lamps could be modified. And of course, if new modern lights are not installed, you save a bunch of money. It's extremely important, we think, to remember that 5th, 6th Street is almost completely a residential street. It should be treated as a residential street with fewer lanes, one each way. I know that's not the issue here tonight, but that's an overall issue. Sidewalks, a low speed limit, that is enforced, possibly some speed tables, and the original lighting. It is time to take all the necessary actions to return 5th, 6th Street to its original role as a residential street. I'd like to point out Pima is analogous to 5th, 6th, and it has no lighting west of Albernon. I live on 4th Street. We have no lighting as well. I'd also like to point out Broadway was recently widened at huge expense, so efforts should be made to encourage through traffic to use Broadway, not 5th, 6th. After all, wasn't that part of the purpose behind the Broadway widening? Finally, please don't think that we are asking for something that is contrary to the language of the proposal, Proposition 407. As far as I've been able to determine, the language said, this proposition will provide sidewalks, landscaping, and lighting for people walking and assistive mobility devices. We're not asking for anything that is contrary to the language. We're just asking that 5th, 6th Street be returned to its original function as a neighborhood residential street with only its original historic lighting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm
Jonathan Coleman.
Yes, you're too. Hello, everybody. I'm Jonathan Holman. I also live on 5th Street, a couple doors down from Jason. I just want to call out a couple things as you all discuss further the rethinking of the lighting. Again, I can't echo what has been said so far as it pertains to it is a residential street. We do not need 35-foot cobra lighting illuminating that street, especially with the planned road diet, so it doesn't really make sense whatsoever. also just keeps a sort of consistency across these various historical neighborhoods that we are all part of. You know, we represent Virginia Heights. That was built in tandem with Alcanto. I'm working with the state to get us nationally registered on the national register. It's a shame that we have not been established there just yet. You can ask Jason, you can ask myself, you can ask Nick. We are the young future generation, and we are here putting money into keeping these homes historical. You're going to come in and make it a thoroughfare. It doesn't make sense, all the hard work that we're putting into it. So again, just really want to make sure that's something that when we're evaluating the lighting plan, all for the historical aspect, keeping it pedestrian focused, because that is, at the end of the day, major residential street. So keep it there as well.
Thank you. Wow, that was very concise. Congratulations, Virginia Heights. I always use that neighborhood.
Yeah. It's a shame. I mean, nobody knows that. Even some of the regional architects of Alcanto, they built the house for the mother. You know, there's a lot of history in these 5 miles.
Sorry to be tangential.
Yep.
Colby Henley. Hi, Colby. Can you address us?
Hi, Ron. Good to see you again. Yeah, so my name is Colby Henley. I'm speaking in support of pedestrian lighting along 5th and 6th Street corridor. It's vital that it be included in the project, especially considering that so many of the pedestrian incidents that we hear about occur at night. So lighting is absolutely critical. I also live in a neighborhood that is a National Historic District, and my home is a contributing property in that district. So I understand some of the concerns about lighting that are being voiced tonight and the view that it may diminish from historic character. But having modern infrastructure in front of my historic property doesn't diminish it at all. And I personally think that the contrast of kind of modern things up against my historic home is what highlights its character and its uniqueness. So I don't see that as a detractor. I live one house from the corner where we have one of the street lights similar to what's being proposed. I think the city can find appropriate fixtures that are tasteful and still providing the lights that's necessary for the safety there. And in my mind, if we're going to invest the money in a pedestrian safety project, which this primarily is, then appropriate lighting is a non-negotiable. If we're serious about safety, then we have to make sure it's included in the project. Thank you.
Thank you for your remarks, Colby. And nice to see you, even if you're virtual. Okay, that was probably a minute and a half. It's really okay. Our next speaker is another neighbor by Eva Said.
Hello, I'm Eva Said. I live at 3242 East 5th Street in the National Historic District of Elm County Estates. I am appealing to the BOC to reconsider some of the lighting being planned for the 5th, 6th Street Pedestrian Safety and Walkability Project. First of all, usage. Who are the pedestrians? Since I live on 5th Street, there are two or three people walking during the day and no one at night. And I've been in the neighborhood for 10 years. There is no one at night. So why is this proposed project costing $1.4 million just for lights hardly being used? 5th Street has never had lights and the residents do not want them. In 1987, the city mandated streetlights. A petition was signed by residents of 5th Street, which was presented to the mayor and the city council. Resolution 14284 was passed, and it rescinded this mandate for lights. Some of you are just too young to know about this. Okay, why are we not using historic pedestrian lights for pedestrian walkability? This is a walkability project. It's not a road project for cars. The bright, intense Type 1 lights that are 29 feet, 1 inch tall, and the Cobra lights that are 34 feet, 3 inches tall are just wrong and inappropriate for a historic neighborhood at home. Now, 5 neighborhoods are being forced to have these lights without any input. This is really a crime. It's a shame that we can't talk about this. The neighborhoods are El Monte Video, El Conquistador, El Canto Estates, Sam Hughes, and Miramonte. 3 neighborhood associations have voted to oppose these lights with votes from their boards. Now, these boards represent several thousand residents. Why is the Department of Transportation and mobility of Tucson, not allowing them to speak. The beauty of the historical essence will be destroyed by the inappropriate usage of modern lights that is more appropriate for six lanes of traffic on Broadway. It is the ugly appearance of a stadium or a prison parking lot. What is the point of doing something the residents don't want because the budget is not sufficient? If that's the case, don't do it. And my last thought is about the city's lack of transparency. The city has not given accurate reports of residents who want the lights. According to DTM records, there have been no questions about the lights. That's not true. I have been to three of the four meetings, and I'm actually photographed in your material as somebody there, and I've spoken up, and I have been dismissed time and time again. Why has this happened?
Eva, I'm afraid you're over 3 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next speaker is another neighbor, Chris Pants.
I also live in El Encanto. I've lived there for 40 years. And I find it a beautiful and peaceful place. And I go along so much with Dalton, is that your name?
My name's Jason.
What?
Jason.
Okay, you talked about the Arizona night sky.
Mm-hmm.
We have treasures here in our community, and I think we should give those value. They're really precious. I've never lived in another city that has such a beautiful sky, night, and days. And I think we should protect everything. I care about beauty and I see it. It happened when I was doing public art. And I think we should treasure what nature has provided for us. And our sky is a wonderful treasure. And shining bright lights at night undoes what nature has provided for us. And I think we should make a point of keeping and protecting that wonderful beauty.
Thank you for your remarks. I appreciate that. You were less than a minute and a half. Thank you again. Our last speaker who is requested to poll the audience is Rudy Wang, another neighbor. Rudy?
Hi, thanks, Ron. My name is Ri Wong. I also live in El Encanto. My family and I we're big bike riders in our family. We are also pedestrians. We are some of those folks who do walk along 6th Street and 5th Street. And I am speaking in support of better lighting along that corridor. I do think it's a safety issue, not just for the pedestrians that are walking, but also for vehicles that drive down 5th and 6th at night. I will admit my night vision's not as good as it used to be. I do think that it is very difficult to see any pedestrians along that corridor. I think sometimes you have a chicken and egg issue. It's so difficult and dangerous to walk or ride bikes along that area, that it does discourage pedestrian usage. I can tell you that my family and I, we have walked either to friends' homes on the other side or to try to go to some of the businesses. It does feel very unsafe. I agree with Colby, who spoke earlier. I do think I am not a lighting expert. I'm not an expert on fixtures. I do think that the city can select tasteful, effective lighting that can balance some of the concerns. I also live in a house that contributes to the historic nature of the neighborhood, so I'm very much cognizant of those concerns. But I do have young children. I do think that safety is paramount. My hope is that, again, I know this isn't on the agenda. My hope is that we do go to a road diet in that area, and also to have better lighting that could help the pedestrians and cyclists.
Thank you very much. Gosh, that was very efficient. Thank you. And thank you all that have come to address the commission. We appreciate your input, your point of view. Sorry, I had to cut a couple people going over. My apologies. But we have a certain amount of business that we need to cover here. We are a volunteer board, and we've given up our time to here conduct business in a manner as possible. That closes formally the poll to the audience. And now we move to the most exciting part, is the program update and the dollars that we are spending or have planned to spend. Aaron Williams will take care of part of our financial update.
All right, Chairman Spark, members of the commission. If you come into a court with that, okay. See the bottom one? Yeah. We're going to pull up the report and share it to the virtual finance committee.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
All the commission, they can have this sheet in front of you.
I have a few extra questions.
All right, Chairman Spark, members of the commission, thank you for the time. I'll give you a quick financial overview as we do every meeting. I'll walk you through the report that we provided. Again, this is focused the top section on the bond status of the first bond issuance. As you know, we issued $57 million bonds. Our expenditure is previous fiscal year. Inception of previous fiscal year was $34 million. Fiscal year 24, which starts in July and runs through June of calendar 24, expenditures have been $7.4 million. That leaves us an available cash balance off that first bond issuance of $15.5 million. We do have encumbrances. Yeah. Encumbrances mean our commitment to pay, like contracts that are in place. When those become realized, then they become the hard expenditures. Encumbrances are $31 million. We do anticipate to go out for bonds this year. The next round of bonds, roughly $70 million, but still looking at the market conditions and what would be the best amount to go out for. Probably within 4 to 8 months is when we'll be ready to go out for the next round.
Oh, so before the end of 24.
For sure. In the top section, you also see the available cash balance. That way, you see what we have in the bank with, you know, our activity since we last met last quarter. We spent about $6 million. So we do have a little bit of buffer there. Don't let the available cash, should all the contracts be paid immediately, worry you. It's there so that we can keep track of it. And we want to time out the issuance of the next set of bonds as close to the end of our cash as we can, so we don't run into limits on our spend. So we want to make sure we don't ask for cash before we need it, so that we ensure that we spend it within the 3 year time frame from the bond issuance date.
Yeah, because that reminds the commission why it matters.
If you look in the bottom section of the report, you'll see the bond spend status. There you'll see the percentage spent on the current issuance of bonds. Currently, we spent $41 million of the 57. That percentage spent is 72%. Ideally, within the first 3 years of issuance, we need to spend 85% for more. Because of the pandemic, it delayed all projects, which put us behind what our anticipation was to spend. So we want to make sure that we're on top of it on the next bond issuance, that we're not sitting on money that we're. The second two areas go over the program level expenditures. You'll be getting more detail on those program level projects in the next agenda item. But on the financial side, you'll see that activities since our previous meeting, hard expenditures, $6.2 million was spent in the last 3 months. So we are on an uptick there. The program spending commitments also increased. Basically, the encumbrances, the contracts that we have booked in our system, about $17.5 million more than what we had last time. I believe we're on track to spend the last amounts, and we have attention on the current spend and on when we go out for the next bonds. So I believe the oversight's there, and everybody's attention is focused on when we go out for the next issuance of bonds. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Does the commission have any questions?
We are on schedule with the spending.
A little below. So Commissioner Blake and members of the commission, if you remember that first issuance we went out for, the should have been spent within 3 years. And we'll be behind on that. So we didn't meet the benchmark, which is there's nothing we can do to catch up on that. What we're doing is trying to spend the rest of that bond proceeds. When we go out for that next issuance of bonds, we want to make sure that there is dedicated oversight that we spend on target so that the spend is happening so that we don't fall off for the 3 year.
Commissioners, Frank, this will be right on you all the time. Okay, I think we need to approve your report. Do a roll call, I think.
Yes, give me 1 second. Let me just change the share.
Sure. I have to say that I know Jasmine's here, but that originally we started out, we had about 7 sheets, and Aaron's put this report on the diet. We're much appreciative of that, but it's good that Jasmine broke us in and we had every detail conceivable. Okay.
We need a motion and a second.
Okay, thank you.
I'll move that we approve the report as.
Second, please.
Second.
Thank you. Okay, roll call, please.
John Anderson. Ryan Anderson. Willie Blake.
Yes.
Frank Fletch. Nicole Fife.
Yes.
Kathy Christian?
Yes.
Kendall Croson?
Yes.
Jose Munoz?
Yes.
Crystal Romero Cardenas? Dr. Ron Spark?
Yes.
Lisa Vega?
Yes. Motion passes.
Motion passes. Thank you. Thank you again, Eric, in advance for the report. We move to project update. Greg, you go before Jack.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Jack and I are going to check these presentations going forward. I'm going to take tonight.
Okay.
On the park side, so since our last meeting, we completed 2 projects. One of them was the LED lighting on the 4 sort of softball field, 1 for 4, the 2 soccer fields at Lincoln Park. And we moved up the Pepper Gallup tennis court facility. So we got that in 2 December. It came out really, really well. The project manager got a lease contract yesterday with signature from the Howard Tennis Players Company. We currently have 8 park projects in construction and 6 playground projects in construction. And we had the Christopher Columbus groundbreaking back in November. That was really cool. That project is moving forward. We have 3 splash pads in construction. That's at Fort Walt, Freedom, and Jesse Owens. Those are all scheduled to be opened up for the summer. Mansfield Pool Slide, which has been going on since we started this campaign, is now up and ready to go this spring. So that's exciting. And Iron Fork Park is getting ready to be wrapped up here probably next week or 2. Working projects in construction, that's awesome. We have 2 fairly big projects out to bid right now. John and Kennedy field improvements. Those bids I think are due this week. And the Bar of the Puddle project, the baseball project, is out to bid right now. We've been doing okay. So most of those projects should be going under construction in the next 6 to 9 days. And then in the next, I would say, 6 to 8 months, we've got, 3 to 4 months, we've got 8 more projects that will be in the permitting. Some of those are rather large projects. You got Jacobs Park and Santa Rita Park, which are both projects we've been planning for the last 18 to 24 months. They're going to win a committee. They'll want the committee to construct by some of those different construction. Mission Manor, bathhouse, pools, splash pad, therapy pool. That's getting closer. It's when it's ready now. Going to construct hopefully in the summer. And then just kind of a big picture update to phase one project, which will be around 2022. We're a little behind in the parent set. Pandemic help us there. But by the end of this year, every project will be in construction except for the golf projects, which is going through a whole series of meetings. So that won't be delayed. But every other phase one project will either be in construction or be complete by the end of this fiscal year. So that's good on phase one. Phase two. I'm seeing we're a little bit ahead of schedule or on schedule. Right now, we only have six more projects that need to be designed, and those are sitting to be in 2025. So we're hoping that we get some of these 14 projects that are under construction off our plates here in the next 3 or 4 or 5 months. We're going to design on those six projects. I think we're really good at phase two. We are going to place to keep that one, get back on schedule, especially for Aaron spending. And then with phase three, we've already got a few projects done. We're hoping maybe to start designing those late this calendar year or more like next calendar year so that we can get that phase three with some of the design we want to done. That would take long. So we can get phase three going at a good time. So then we've got 15 more projects that are in design right now, some today the design. So we've got a lot of things in the pipeline moving forward. Part of that is because when I left in June for an extended vacation, we had 4 project managers and a vacancy. And when I got back in August, we had 1 project manager and 4 vacancies. But Jasmine, all those positions that they filled were fully staffed. They're working by themselves. So we're seeing that now as the structure is picked up, the manager's picked up, and everything.
How are the bids coming in? I think you were all concerned about that.
Splash pads have been coming in much higher than we expected. Miss Kennedy and Mario DePaul are going to give us a pretty good deal for how our renovations are going to go. The last one we had in Columbus came in a little over budget, but better than we expected. So we'll have a better feel for the executive here in the next 30 days. Hopefully we're seeing things come back down to a little bit better pricing. So the splash pads are definitely higher than we anticipated.
Commissioner, do you have additional questions? Does Jasmine also have a report?
No. You have these in your packets, yeah. So if you ever have questions, you can
I have one. So, Lincoln Park, Gold Park, that's under...
That's an actually an impact fee project, so it's a Riding Bottom project.
Always.
Yeah, I'm just sharing...
Oh,
projects. We've got other projects that are also in this pipeline.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this is very exciting. I think when you go through those spreadsheets, you see all the activity, especially what we've completed. You know, it's really exciting, and it took so long to get out of the chute. But thank you so much. That's great news for all of us. Thank you. Okay. Connections.
Yes.
Connections?
Yeah. Actually, Ryan's going to cover all the project updates.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Just trying to pull up the presentation and switch screens and stuff. Hang on one sec. Okay. Okay. Can you all see that? I'm going to assume that you can. Let me know if you can. I'm just going to do some brief project updates here. They'll pass on Southwestern Greenway. We have the segment from 6th Avenue to Keno Parkway. That's at 30% design. St. Mary's Road to Cushing Street. That we have a scope and review for that and are hoping to start design very soon on that. The segment in South Tucson, we're currently pursuing some RTA funding since we only have 407 funding for design for that segment. For the Camino Miramonte Palo Verde Bike Boulevard, working on an alternatives alignment study, and the results of that are going to be presented to the neighborhoods that the project passes through and the general public in mid-March, with dates to be determined. For the St. Mary's Pedestrian Safety and Walkability Project, we're waiting for a revised scope and fee on that. For the Alamo Wash Greenway, that's a project that we are designing with an eye toward federal funding for construction, or at least a substantial portion of it being federal. So it's going to be designed with federal funding and for construction in mind. And we are going through an RFQ process to pick a design consultant for that.
Why does that qualify for federal funds?
It's the most expensive of all Prop 407 projects. I mean, all of them potentially could. This one is, we have some that are sort of better candidates from our perspective. There are some that would be, that are more likely to be successful when we, apply for federal funding. But this is one that we're just, with an eye towards, escalating construction costs, we're just, we're trying to from the beginning federalize it essentially, which makes it much simpler for us to use federal funding to apply for it and to use it in a timely fashion. If we don't do that, there's certain like environmental work and other things that would need to be done later, and that would delay things. So that's the reason for that. And we're doing an RFQ for a couple reasons, but we normally don't do that for Prop 407 projects because they tend to be lower cost projects where we can use an on-call list. So we have a bunch of firms that we can use for design. This project is too large for that. And we're also using some federal funding, some American Rescue Plan funding for the design. And so we are required to go through an RFQ process for that. Moving on, the 12th Avenue Pedestrian Safety and Walkability Project. There's not a lot of movement on that right now, but we are working on updating cost estimates, and we hope to have more update on that soon. For the 8th, 18th South Campbell Bike Boulevard package, comments on the 90% plans have been sent to consultants, and we are awaiting response. For the 6th Avenue Protected Bike Lane project, we are awaiting a revised design scope. We actually just had a meeting with our consultant about that today, and we're hoping to get the design started in February or March at the latest. For the Marianne Cleveland Way Shared Use Path, we are awaiting approval on ADOT for something that's needed before we can bid out the project. We are expecting to bid it out in February with construction, hopefully starting by the end of March. For the Andrew Street Bike Boulevard, we are waiting on a consultant for a change order on the project, and we expect 90% design to start next month. For the 5th Street, 6th Street Pedestrian Safety and Walkability Project, we are expecting 90% plans to start design soon in February or March, and we'll have more to talk about on 5th, 6th in a few minutes. On the Roger Road Pedestrian Safety Walkability Project, we are expecting sealed plans for that project in February. We still have real estate work that we're working through, but we're expecting by this summer to be able to bid out the project with construction starting in the second half of the year. And then the Blackledge Bike Boulevard, there is some utility and real estate work that is ongoing. We have sealed documents coming in the spring. That's a project that we requested federal funding for, and we should get results for that around the same time in the spring.
What is sealed documents or sealed plans in lay terms?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, sometimes we throw around terms and acronyms and things. So sealed documents means that they're the final documents intended for construction. They have the engineer's actual seal mark on them, indicating that they are, that they have approved them, essentially. So those are typically the plans that we go to construction with, unless there are further revisions made later in the construction process. So that's it for just the general project updates.
Wow, that's comments or questions from the commission?
I have a question.
Yes.
On the revised scope and review for the St. Mary's, you're saying starting design soon? Like soon next month? Next year?
Colin, can you field that one since you're working on that project?
Yeah, hopefully next month.
Next month?
Yeah, we're finalizing this to be with the consultant right now. So we're already starting to plan these activities for that.
I know the West Side is really expanding. We're all looking forward to it. Thank you.
Yes. And you already done a community outreach?
No, not yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. We're going to be working with Lisa to do some of that.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Thank you for that interchanging clarification. That's good.
And Dr. Spark, before we move on from the connections, I did just have kind of a discussion item for the commission. I don't want it to take long. I know we've got people waiting here, and there's other topics we want to discuss. But I'll just share, you know, on the connection side, we've done the project updates in a variety of different ways. Today, we kept it really short and simple. We just had the bullet points of the project listed out. Other times, we've shared, you know, highlights. Here's some stories from the community engagement, something that we think is relevant. So I think Ryan and I are really just interested in knowing from the commission, what's the most helpful or useful kind of updates that we can provide to you? And don't feel like you have to answer this question right now. You can feel free to email us, send comments to Jonah. But I think we want to make sure that some updates are useful and meaningful to you and make the best use of the time.
Well, I'd like to say that I appreciate it when there are issues and different approaches that you're entertaining, and that is very helpful in terms of knowing the ins and the outs of this planning and how it's affecting the community and their answers and your response to their answers are interesting to me.
Yeah, I would amplify that. You know, how you reach out to the community, what their responses were, and what your answers are or options that have been raised because of that interface. That's helpful to us, knowing because we have an obligation that the public should be involved with the planning process. And this is one way we can assure that that's happening.
And I think when it's taking longer because there are issues coming up, that also clarifies, well, why isn't this project moving on? We've been talking, it's been on there from day one type of thing. So, yeah.
And, you know, we are here to represent the community, but there are others who are not here. So we have to go back and talk to them. And then probably you need to be there to give up a couple, which is really good. I like that.
Yeah. Okay, and the virtual commissioners, if you have some thoughts on what you would like at these meetings, we only meet three or four times a year, as far as your understanding of what the projects, how they're being laid out, what's happening. Please communicate that to us. So, okay, thank you for raising that, actually. All right. Okay, so the next item is there seems to be some of these things.
Yes, and Ryan's going to cover that one since he's the project manager for that project.
We're going to go to agenda item A first.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Before we get into the meeting discussion,
Early on, with the commission agreed to a set of criteria to change projects. We discussed it, and this is one of the first action items that we approved. September. What's that? September. Yeah. 2.5 years ago.
All right, Chairman Spark, members of the commission, for this agenda item, before we get into the discussion, we felt it was pertinent to give you a recap of the project change guidelines as approved by the commission on November 9th, 2020. I'm going to briefly read through the summary and then the pertinent parts of the changes. You should have it in your agenda material and share it on the screen for those watching virtually. So as a summary, the City of Tucson is committed to delivering the bond program that voters approved on November 2018. The ordinance identified four broad categories for the improvements: parks, golf, dimensions, and greenways. We identified 567 individual projects. Given the volume of projects and the 10-year duration for the bond, there is a need to be responsive to changing conditions and solicit meaningful public input to provide the best value to the community and taxpayers. Anticipated scenarios where changes may be brought forward for consideration. Technical constraints are identified during the design process that make the project or parts of the project not feasible. Or additional staff analysis or community input suggests project changes might provide greater benefit to the community. The next section is the restriction on the changes. Bond projects were selected from planning documents that involved extensive community input. There was an effort to improve the current condition of the park system while adding new park amenities. Careful consideration needs to be exercised when thinking about changing identified projects. Number one under restriction on changes deals with parks, but number two is connections and greenways, which we're going to talk about in some update. So number two is connection and greenway projects were identified to improve safety, enhance accessibility, and to advance the goal of a low-stress regional pedestrian and bicycle network. These projects are not eligible for consideration of changes unless during the design process it is clear it is not technically feasible to build a project within the proposed budget. Refinements to the alignment and types of improvements can be made during the design process to improve safety, connectivity, and create cost efficiencies. Alignment changes are to go through the process below. Bullet point number three, proposed changes will only be considered if the change can be accomplished within the existing budget allocated for the project. And then the review process, that's what we're in currently. So if the potential change meets the criteria above, the following steps are required for the review. Step one, initial review. The potential change is discussed with the council members whose ward the project is in. Council member and Parks and Connections staff develop an outreach plan to ensure the impacted neighborhood, community, and stakeholders can review the proposed changes and provide input. The proposed change is also discussed with the Bond Oversight Commission to keep them in the loop. So that's all they're here. Step two is the public outreach. The potential change is discussed with the impacted neighborhood, community, stakeholders. Engagement tools may include mailers, neighborhood associated meetings, public meetings, pop-up engagements, virtual online town halls. And then step three, summary of report and departmental recommendation. Staff develop a public input and change recommendation summary. The Parks and Recreation Director or the Department of Transportation and Mobility Director provide a recommendation based on that summary. And then step four, Bond Oversight Commission review. The Parks and Connections Bond Oversight Commission will review the change per the commission's pre-established guidelines and provide a final decision. Those are the pertinent parts. Hope that framework provides some guidance as you consider the next meeting.
Thank you. And so anybody, any of the commissioners have any additional considerations or concerns? Okay. There is the potential of going to the mayor and council. Could you cover that as well? Because it's
yes,
it's an additional consideration.
You can share it. Additional considerations. So the truth and bonding policy outlines two project change scenarios that would require mayor, council, or voter approval. It is not expected that any of these changes would be considered to fall into either one or two below. Mayor and council approval. Any monetary adjustments to an expenditure category, meaning parks, greenways, connectivity, or golf, as described in the attached exhibit A to this ordinance, of greater than 10%. Shall require a majority vote of the mayor and council following the prior review and recommendation of the commission. The second stipulation is voter approval. Any change in the actual purpose of the bonds, specifically capital improvements for parks and recreation, greenways, golf, and connectivity. Those types of changes are beyond the board of the bond oversight committee. They have to either go mayor and council or voter approval.
Thank you.
All right. Good.
All right. So, Ryan, you want to lead the discussion on this item?
Yes, I have a presentation prepared, so give me just one
moment. Thank
you. All right. Can you see my cursor moving around in case I need to point to anything?
Yes, yep. Thank you.
All right, great. All right. So just to give you a little bit of background on this project, I know some of you are familiar with it, some of you may not be as much. So this is one of the pedestrian safety and walkability projects that was included in Prop 407. It's on 6th Street from Campbell Avenue to Country Club Road, and then it is on 5th Street from Country Club to Alvernon. The original project scope from the project fact sheet is as follows. Street improvements to provide complete and connected sidewalks on both sides of the road, enhanced street crossings, street lighting, and landscaping for shade. So just an overview of the existing lighting in the area. There is street lighting at all signalized intersections. So all of the major signalized intersections for cars, as well as at the Hawk pedestrian lights that we have at Wilson and Treat at this time. From Campbell Avenue to Tucson Boulevard, we have continuous historic pedestrian lighting, the type you can see here. From Tucson Boulevard to Country Club Road, there is continuous street lighting that you can see here. And then from Country Club to Alvernon Way, other than the intersections, the major signalized intersections, there's only three street lights. Here's one of them that's located at Camino Miramonte. There's another similar one located at Guapo Way, and then there's a more conventional street light that you can see just east of Dodge on 5th Street. So the proposed lighting for this project would put two-sided street lighting on 6th Street from Campbell Avenue to Tucson Boulevard. It would utilize the existing underground conduit and other underground work that's already being used for the historic pedestrian lights, saves us some money and makes it easier for us to put lighting on both sides of the street. The proposed lights are what are called type 3 lights, and they are 30 feet in height. We would be putting the same type of street lights in the traffic island at the southwest corner of 6th Street and Country Club Road. Currently, that's kind of a dark area. It's kind of a gap in the lighting in that area, but otherwise from Tucson to Country Club is fairly well lit. And then from 5th Street, on 5th Street from Country Club to Alvernon, we would be proposing a one-sided street lighting that would be located on the south side of the street. That's the reason for the south side there's more constraints on the north side, driveways and utilities and things like that. So the south side is more feasible. That does require us to lay new conduit. Underground conduit is expensive. All this is obviously, capital projects are expensive, but we've seen a real significant increase in the cost for the materials that we use for underground work. And these lights would be using type 1 lights, which would total be about 34 feet 3 inches in height. The mast arms would be about 15 feet long. By comparison, the mast arms, which is the part that extends out from the pole horizontally, on 6th Street from Campbell to Tucson and on the island, they would be 8 foot long mast arms. And the reason for the discrepancy really is on 5th Street, we're lighting the whole street from one side of the street. And so we're able to do that with these poles that are a little taller and have longer mast arms. And so that does light both the roadway and the sidewalks on both sides of the street. So why are we proposing street lighting for this project? The primary reason is safety. There have been a lot of studies on the effects of street lighting on safety on roads, be they for vehicles, for pedestrians, for bicyclists. For this particular type of street, there was a pretty comprehensive study that was done in 2014 that is endorsed by the Federal Highway Administration. It expects a reduction of injury and fatal crashes for this type of street, which is considered by the feds to be a minor arterial. Locally, we call it a collector street, but it's in some ways it's there's some overlap there, and in some ways it's a matter of semantics. But we would expect a reduction, of about 32%. Obviously, it's going to vary depending on a lot of things, but we expect a significant reduction in crashes with the addition of street lighting. As I mentioned, the FHWA endorses this kind of research. They include it as one of their proven safety countermeasures for roadways. Just to give you a little overview of the crash history in the project area on 5th and 6th Street recently, there are 161 reported crashes in the five-year period from 2018 to 2022. This is from the Pima Association of Governments Safety Explorer portal. We don't have anything newer than that, unfortunately, or older. So we have that five-year period that we can analyze. And that's kind of the industry standard for looking at crash data and identifying safety concerns. So in that five-year period, we had 61 crashes with a possible or reported injury and one fatality. And just an asterisk here, for those of you who reviewed the staff report and the appendix that I sent out on Friday, I neglected to kind of define what possible injury means, because that does seem kind of wishy-washy. So possible injury just means that it's either reported by one of the people involved in the crash, or it's indicated by their behavior, but there's no like visible wounds. So it can encompass a lot of things that aren't, essentially obvious at the time of the
report. Brian, you do not have any bicycle collision data, do you?
We do. Let me see if I can find that. And if you'd like, I can pull that up. There were some bicycle collisions given the focus of this project. I decided to call it the pedestrian crashes. So among those, there was three possible injuries, one non-incapacitating injury. And I can pull up more comprehensive data at the end if you would like the bicycle crash data. So Pima Association of Governments, they also rate streets on what's called level of safety service. And for the overall project area, they rated the roadway as poor and the intersections as fair. And that's based on the crash history compared to what would sort of be expected for a generic street with similar characteristics. So a similar type of street with a similar traffic volume. Similar other sort of environmental characteristics. And then another benefit in terms of safety for street lighting, there's personal security and accessibility benefits for vulnerable road users. If it's dark, it's difficult to see where you're going when you're walking. The same is also true for bicycle riders. It enhances the sort of the visibility and just the personal safety aspect when it comes to, just things like crime. So some other reasons for street lighting. We've looked at pedestrian lighting as an alternative to more comprehensive street lighting. Pedestrian lighting would provide that personal security and accessibility benefit that I mentioned. However, there's a lack of data that shows a reduction in crashes as a result of pedestrian lighting. Presumably that's because when you don't focus the light on the roadway, which is where most of the, most crashes happen, you can't expect a significant decrease there. But we were unable to find in any data that really spoke to reduction in crashes when it's pedestrian-only lighting. The other piece of it, pedestrian lighting would cost more if we were to light sidewalks on both sides of the street. So an estimate from our design consultant I'll back up. So our current lighting cost estimate is approximately $1.4 million for the entire project. About $1 million of that would be on Fifth Street between Country Club and Albernon. Our design consultant did a quick estimate of the cost to switch to pedestrian lighting on both sides of the street between Country Club Road and Guapo Way, which is where the El Encanto neighborhood is and where we receive requests to look into pedestrian lighting. They estimated that would cost an additional $300,000 to $350,000 to do that. So if we were to do that for all of Fifth Street for that entire mile, it would be looking at about $750,000 or more. So, and the last reason is really, you know, committing to delivering the project as described, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, the project did promise street lighting. So we did some initial public outreach for this project last spring. We did two public open houses at Himmel Park and Alvernon Park. We also had a table at the Department of Transportation and Mobility booth at Ciclovia Tucson in the spring. We showed 15% concept plans that we had, and really showing the major features of the project, including the locations of the streetlights. We had a survey that was mostly open-ended questions, asking people about their perceptions of safety, what they would like to see improved on the streets, that sort of thing. So most of the feedback we received was open-ended. And we also provided a role plot showing the project area and the improvements proposed, and we provided sticky notes and pens so people could put notes on there as well. We didn't ask any specific questions about lighting at that time.
That's why.
I'm sorry?
Continue, Ryan, please.
All right. We did not ask any questions about lighting on the survey. We were not looking specifically for feedback on that at the time. So we received comments on the survey and the role plot. They were mixed, but the comments were largely in favor of street lighting. You can, in the staff report appendix that I provided, you can see all of the comments that were related to lighting that were provided on that survey. We did hear some concerns raised about street lighting by some residents and nearby neighborhood associations at that time, things that kind of weren't anticipated when we did outreach for this project initially and didn't fully capture with the outreach and the survey that we had done at that time. We decided to go through that project change process that Aaron detailed earlier. We worked with Ward 6 and we came up with an outreach plan, and the decision was made to combine outreach that we were already planning on doing in the fall and ask specifically about the lighting, provide specific information about the proposed lighting. So we presented the most current plans, which were the 60% plans, showing more progress in the plan development. And we asked on the survey five questions about the lighting. We were asking specifically about whether the existing lighting was supported or not supported, or if the person responding was neutral on the topic. We asked those questions because at the time, we're not considering pedestrian lighting as an option for the reasons I mentioned above or earlier, that there's just an additional cost and less of a safety benefit resulting from that. So the question was really, do you want lighting on this segment? Do you want lighting on that segment? And the responses to that are here at the bottom. We got a total of 210 people who took the survey. The support for the lighting ranged from 73%. That was the lowest level here from Campbell to Tucson, all the way to 85%, which the highest level of support was for Dodge to Alvernon. And then there was opposition anywhere between 9% and 16%, with the most opposition on the west end and the least opposition on the east end. And then the remainder of the responses were no opinion or neutral. The comments that we received on the survey were mixed. About a third in favor of the lighting, about a third in opposition to the lighting, and about a third referencing the lighting, but making suggestions or comments that weren't necessarily related to support or lack of support. And then we had similar to the previous round of outreach, we had role plots of the project at the meetings where we solicited input. We also did an online comment map that allowed people to kind of do a virtual version of that to look at the project area, look at the improvements, and put comments at specific locations. And the comments that we received on the role plot and the online comment app were largely opposed to the streetlights. And you can find all of those comments that we received, both rounds of public outreach, in the appendix to the staff report. So the reports by location, we decided to do a geographic analysis looking at where people reported their where they lived and how they voted on these things. So the survey question was, please place a pin on the map closest to where you live that you're comfortable placing. So some people might have put them directly where they live. Some people might have put them the nearest cross street. But, you know, we wanted to capture people's location as best as possible so we could get an idea of where we're getting responses from. So we from the adjoining neighborhood associations, which are Sam Hughes, Miramonte, El Encanto Estates, El Conquistador, and El Monte Video, we found that in all of those, there was a majority in support of street lighting in all of those associations, except for El Encanto Estates. We also, unrelated to the survey, but some residents of El Encanto Estates circulated a petition requesting that the city consider historic pedestrian lighting or no lighting at all on the project adjacent to their neighborhood. So they had 48 signatures that represented 39 properties. 24 of those properties are on Fifth Street. And a map showing the locations of those is in the project appendix. In addition, El Encanto Estates, Sam Hughes, and Miramonte submitted letters that opposed the lighting and you know, in some cases, requesting alternatives to what was proposed. I think in all cases, actually. So as you can see from the map here, sorry, I'll just explain the map here a little bit. So this is trying to capture sort of the responses to all five questions, all five project areas. So one section is from Campbell to Tucson here. One section is this little triangle at Country Club that I mentioned. One section is from Country Club to Guapo Way. One section is from Guapo Way to Dodge. And then the last section is from Dodge to Albernon. So there are maps showing responses to individual questions and some more survey data in the staff report and appendix. But what this shows is essentially how do people vote overall? So if people supported everything, their dot is green. If they supported all five segments, but they were neutral on one or more, I'm sorry, if they either supported or were neutral on all five, then it's a kind of a paler green. If they were neutral on everything, it's gray. If they either did not support or were neutral on anything, it's that light pink. If they did not support any, it's red. And if it was mixed, it's kind of that brown color. So, and mixed just means the respondent was in favor of lighting in at least one area and was opposed to lighting in at least one other area. So this is detailed more in the staff report, but I'll just go over quickly sort of a summary of things that we've heard about the lighting and some brief responses. I'm happy to elaborate on any of these if anybody has any additional questions.
I think we all received this, and I appreciate your humanity in letting us slide to the next topic. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, do you want me to skip this?
Ryan, I'll take it from here.
All right.
This sounds like the commission already has these responses. I'll wrap up the presentation, Mr. Chair, if you don't mind.
Yes.
I think that Aaron covered this pretty comprehensive in his overview. Just as a recap, that when these concerns were brought to DTM, and we talked about possibly changing the scope of the project, we initiated the project change procedure as described. We did have a conversation with the Ward 6 council member, developed the outreach plan. You can see all of the steps that we completed. Tonight, we're providing our summary report and our departmental recommendation, and then ultimately are happy to answer any questions and defer to the commission on your review and ultimate decision. Ryan, if you just go to the last slide. This pretty much in summary is our staff recommendation. You know, we recognize the concerns that were brought before us, not only tonight, but throughout this entire process. But, you know, safety is one of our core values at DTM. And I think that safety benefits of street lighting are well documented and supported, not only by DTM, but by the Federal Highway Association. And so our recommendation is that we build streetlights as currently designed and as originally described in the project fact sheet. What I'd like to do is elaborate a little bit more in that. I know we've heard some concerns about the lack of pedestrians along this corridor. As a reminder, we're building a pedestrian safety and walkability project. And so our intent is that we are going to enhance the situation for pedestrians along this corridor. I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that last year we killed a lot of people on our roads, and it's pretty unacceptable. And to have an opportunity to install streetlights on this stretch, I think is one that I don't take lightly as the director, and I know our staff doesn't take lightly. So with that, Mr. Chair, we would be happy to answer any questions about the material we provided or the presentation we gave you this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Ryan for a very humane and detailed presentation. It was really very solid information. And thank you for stepping in and summarizing the departmental recommendation. We appreciate that as well. Okay, I will open the discussion up to the commission as far as any questions, concerns. Ryan, you overwhelmed everyone.
Sorry. One thing I'll add is the staff report is available on the project website for anybody who may not have received that, who may be watching the meeting right now. So if you are interested in this information in a lot more detail, we do have that available on the 5th 6th Street Pedestrian Safety and Walkability Project website. And I would put that in the chat, but it looks like it's disabled. So
it's a very impressive document. I really, my compliments to the department and specifically was involved in collecting all this material and all the hours that were put out to interface with the public that was concerned. Commissioners, are you awake?
Somebody asked me a question. Come on.
Yes.
my concern is always, I just want, it's important to stay connected to the community because I've had bad experiences. You know, when we come together, we have a meeting and people get angry. And the first thing they ask, why you didn't tell us? And that's most of the time why I ask the question, was the community involved? All the time I ask that question. So we just keep that in mind and you can keep the peace.
Thank you for these comments. I think the documentation is really here about the effort the department made. So, but I think you're right on. Okay, I don't know whether we got leveled by this report or not. So the chair will welcome a motion. The proceeding will have a motion. We'll have a second, and then we'll have a discussion on the motion.
I'd like to entertain a motion that we accept all that jabber as we're ready to it.
Okay, so we're going to accept the staff recommendation.
Yes, recommendation.
Without any amendments.
Yes, right.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Okay, I think it's appropriate. Any comments or questions from the commission? Just my own comment. As a scientist, I thought the department really did look at the data. I mean, this is data-based. I realize that it counters a lot of the emotional content of what we've discussed today, but and from a scientific standpoint, I think we have to feel that is most predictive of the best outcome that we could, as a design, as an engineer, human engineering experience. So I'm in favor of the commission adopting this, knowing that I still have to live in this neighborhood. There are neighbors that are very much against this decision, but I can live with it because I feel the scientific data is there.
I feel that data is there also. The study matters. Yes.
Well, I don't live in the neighborhood, but I walk in the neighborhood, usually once or twice every 2 weeks. And I go up 6th. And it is dark. And it is, I feel fairly confident in my skills walking. But I know that as I age, I think it's going to be better to have more lighting. I also think that if we're adding the vegetation and the shading, that will mitigate some of that on the pedestrians as well as in the neighborhoods. And I think we need to think about that as well. And I'm always safety first. It's got to be there. We have to take care of our population.
Okay. Hearing no, I'm going to close the discussion on the motion. Roll call, please. Carlos?
John Anderson? Ryan Anderson? Lily Blake?
Yes.
Frank Fletch? Nicole Pike?
Yes.
Kathy Krishnier?
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay.
Kendall Croson?
Yes.
Jose Munoz?
Yes.
Cristo Romero Cordenas? Dr. Ryan Scott?
Approve. Approve.
Lisa Vega?
Yes. We have unanimous approval.
Yes.
It passes. Thank you very much, and I thank the public for interfacing with us tonight, as well as having the executive staff here help us feel the gravitas of this decision. So appreciate that as well. We move on to the next steps. Please notice the planned meetings. There are always a possibility of interval meetings as sometimes urgent matters arise. So, right, put that on your calendar, but stay tuned to your email. Also, I would welcome any future agenda items. I think what Colin mentioned was something maybe we could kick around again to modify how we report, how the reports are done. I'm going to play. Jackson was very efficient tonight. Sometimes it's been more detail, but we welcome those comments from the commissioners. I put on something here. It's a favorite of mine. It has to do with the loop, the loop bike and pedestrian ways, and the signage that does or does not exist to direct the mobility public to our bikeways that we've spent all this time and money putting together. And we're hoping to get complete cooperation from the county to post those signs. Greg, do you have a word for that?
I think I'm actually on the connection side. Yeah, and Ryan does have a follow-up. It's all Ryan
tonight. Oh, Ryan.
Yes, I can provide a brief update on that. I did reach out to the county most recently a few weeks back. We've corresponded about it previously, but I reached out to them a few weeks back just to get an update on where they're at and discuss adding additional signage on top of what they've already added, and have not heard back yet. So this is a good reminder for me to nudge them again, and I hope I will have a more substantive update at our next meeting.
Thank you. I have to admit, I have sent out some spies. I have friends that are riding the loop, and they're my eyes. So you're being monitored.
I appreciate you bringing this topic to the forefront, because there's an awful lot of connection between the loop and these connections projects. So I do think it's important to provide wayfinding, let people know about all the facilities that we're building and the connections throughout the city.
It's a new year, and we're all expectant about this new year.
We appreciate the report, but we are monitoring. We're doing segments.
Okay. Now I will welcome the motion for adjourn. This was a hearty meeting, very robust, and it's all what the commission is about. Motion for adjournment. Second. Oh, I'll just take a formal aye. Thank you. Adjourn. Very good.
All right.
You just have to look at the table.
happening with our early Simpson families.
I guess none of them will be a DLT.